That's one of the movies that's so painful of IT. I actually own it. That, Swordfish, and what else? Hackers and Antitrust. Antitrust is a great movie. Oh, everything you need to know about movies.
Hmm. Oh, you're recording? Okay. Nah, I won't wait for him. Welcome to the 2007 December OLUG meeting. Raise your hand if you don't know me. Okay. My name is John Larson. I am a systems engineer at the AIM Institute, which also provides this space here. This month, Aaron Grothy is going to do Rockbox, and I'm going to erase this so people can see things a little bit better. If you want to follow along, and I know he already has these slides up here, but you can go to olug.org/presentations/December 2007, and that is a capital D. Now that I've said it, I'm going to erase it. So, I will sit down and let Aaron do the magic.
Magic?
It's a kind of magic.
Okay. How many people know what Rockbox is? Have you tried Jules on this thing yet?
Dude, I couldn't find my way around. I got shot.
Try Jules. It's a standard Jewel game. I'll be talking about that actually because there's a loss.
Whoa!
Fred lost it there. But it flip off?
No, I'm just trying to.
Oh. Sorry. But Rockbox. It's an alternative firmware for a variety of MP3 players. It runs on two of the ones I have here. The iRiver H10, which is a pretty popular one, and also the Sansa C240, E220 series, and so on and so forth. And, of course, iPods, which varies in quality. Which one do you have? Why did you go with Rockbox instead of going with iPod Linux? They both got their good points. Who am I? Linux kernel contributor, very small crypto patches, very small amount of code, IOCC 2006 winner, most obfuscated sound. How many people know what the International Obfuscated C Code Contest is? Come on. It's like Geek Kevin. Kerning won it. And now I have two, yeah. One step closer, yeah. Wage slave at a marketing company in Omaha. Won't go into any more detail on that. Board member of Nebraska CERT, a security group around town, pretty good group. We do our cybersecurity forums 10 times a year. NebraskaCERT.org is our website. We have a lot of our presentations and stuff there. Interested in computer security. Questions and caveat, if you have any questions, please ask. It's very informal at OLUG. One of the things I like about it, so ask whenever you got them. I'll try and answer it. This next one. I play with Rockbox and the Sansa C240 and my iRiver H10 20 GB. So my experience with the player is what I've gotten from reading the wiki, the manuals, and doing a couple of basic installs. I've started digging through a code for a couple things, which I'll get into a little bit later, but I'm still working on it pretty early. Disclaimer, if you do start playing with the firmware of your MP3 player, you can do various things to it that will render it to no longer be an MP3 player or any other kind of player. Example being, I've had pretty good luck until today with the Rockbox, actually. The Sansa C240, I was putting new stuff on the micro SD card, put it in there, and somehow it decided to wipe my Rockbox install. Not all of it, mind you, just MI4, which is the actual file it uses that contains Rockbox. Other than that, everything's fine. So after one quick reinstall, I'm back to normal. Your mods can vary. Obviously, the better supported your thing is, the better off you're going to be. Rockbox alternatively. Currently runs a variety of different players. How does Rockbox work? A lot of MP3 players allow for upgradable firmware, which, given the storage space on all the modern MP3 players, the hard drive ones, all that, an alternative OS isn't that big. One of the reasons they support upgradable firmware is so they can keep the DRM working. It's one of the of the great things about it. Example being the iPod, iRiver, the generation before mine, the 6 gig one, initially had some functionality for doing AUG. Initially could show up as a USB device. It was great. Then they decided to be part of the Microsoft Plays for Sure program. And the Microsoft Plays for Sure program goes, you can't be a direct USB device, and you cannot support AUG. Why? I don't know. It's just one of those wonders of life. So they released a firmware patch, which had some other nice features in it, which took away the functionality. Another example is Creative. Some of their Zen players had some really great features, such as the ability to record FM radio. They then took that out as well, because the RIAA wanted that, apparently. So anything that the MP3 firmware gives you, they can take away through an upgrade, which is what I say about Rockbox is an alternative for that. What players does Rockbox support? This is a pretty incomplete list. There's a whole bunch of them that have half-assed ports in various states. It's a question of how much you want to deal with it. Apple iPods, first, second, third, fourth gen, color photo, video, nano first gen. They're working on second gen. And the iPod mini first and second gen are both well-supported. They're pretty good in basic OS, pretty good basic machines. The Apple iPod first gen just got support a little while ago. So if anyone's interested in one, the source is out there, people are porting them. iRiver, that's the one I have floating around. Really great one. Arcos, which is a really good one. The thing about Arcos is they just released a new player that has a 7-inch screen on it, which is really nice. It's getting to be a really powerful system. Koan, which is a bunch of different ones. SanDisk, C2X0 version 1 only. EX2X0, which is the 200 series. The nice thing about this C200 series, they just released a new rev of it. And they don't say anywhere on it, hey, this is the new rev, unless you open it up and take a look, and it says V2 in little letters in the back. And they changed the entire chips and stuff out for manufacturing costs, so if you do buy one, be careful about that. Toshiba Gigabit F, which is a pretty decent one, and others are in development in all sorts of different states. There's a whole bunch of people trying to get the Nano third gen to go. We'll see how that works out. Well, my players in support, will it be? The most common chipset used inside the MP3 players right now is called Portal Player. And if it supported that single onboard chip for audio devices, there's a pretty good chance of being supported sometime in the future. There's another one called Telechips, which is another popular SoC chip, which they're working on quite a bit now. And once they get that, a whole lot of other players will fall into line. If it's a newer device, like let's say the Nano 3rd Gen, the YHW one, which is pretty cool, there's a good chance it will be when people get it figured out, but it's going to take them a while. Did I just drive Tommy away? What did I do?
No, his stuff's still here, right?
Oh, okay. If you want to work at supporting one that's not supported, by all means, sources out there, go to town. And you can hit the Rockbox Wiki for more details. The Rockbox Wiki is really nice because it does lay out all the caveats for all the various players, what does and doesn't work. Why run Rockbox? You want to play AUG, Speaks, FLAC, or other open formats. Everybody using FLAC yet? Free lossless audio codec. It's about three times the size of MP3 at least. But the thing about it is, it's lossless. So let's say later on you want to convert it to MP3 or AUG, you still have all the information, which is really nice. Much, much smaller. Wave will be played on a lot of MP3 players that don't have Rockbox as well, because they use that for their audio recording. So, but FLAC is really popular in the open source. I mean, I'm not sure what patents it infringes it has involved with it right now, but it works pretty well. Speaks. Anybody know what Speaks is? It's codec. What is it? Yeah, it's really popular for speech. It just works on the non-musical type stuff, which works really well for that. You get some really nice compression ratios. Another reason to use Rockbox, you want or need voice-enabled menus. It does have that feature, which is really nice. You want to play games in your MP3 player? Who doesn't? Why just have it be an MP3 player? It would be so much more. You want to run a free open Libre GPL version 2 firmware on your MP3 player? like run the official one, that's fine. Or you want to write an app plugin for your player. You want to do something different it doesn't currently do, like, oh, let's say a chess clock, let's say a baby versus a dookie, whatever you want, go to town. A couple more reasons why Rockbox. The app lets playback in MP3s. What it does is it mutes it before the next one kicks over, and it kind of preloads it, which if you listen to certain albums, like let's say Iggy Pop Live in New York City, they cut in the middle of the damn audience every time, so it's, and then they start the next song. And it's just really annoying. So the features it has going for it.
Called crossfade? Is that one of the ways that they do that? Or?
I'm not sure how they do it. It's like, it just speeds up the next track. It doesn't have a real drop. I haven't looked at the technology. You speak a language not natively supported by firmware. Let's say you speak Russian, Spanish, whatever. You don't get a working firmware. Or Deutsch. Esperanto. Whatever. And you can usually run the original firmware as well. So you're not like stuck totally with the Rockbox firmware. An example being a little fan that I got. The USB chips don't work on it under Rockbox. So if you plug into a USB cable, turn it off, it'll boot the original firmware so you put music on there. Really nice little feature. Run the original OS. Because the firmware chip inside the SanDisk player does not support the USB chip. It's not understood in a Rockbox yet because it's not documented. So they get around it that way. The iRiver, straightforward. You just hold down the right button when you boot it up. It shows up as a USB device, and life is good. So you just drag your stuff to it and move on the rest of your life.
That's because they still support disk mode.
Yeah.
Their firmware.
Yeah. Well, they've made an emergency mode in the 20-gig one. Okay. It's one of their parts of the Play For Sure update. Love. Yeah. What you do when you boot it is you hold the left button up, and it'll come up with the original firmware.
Doesn't most of them do the original firmware? I mean, I know that the iPod you can swap back and forth with the bootloader. Okay.
Yeah, this one's totally uninstallable. There's some that they're working with that they actually had to replace the firmware with, but those are like pretty much dead projects. You can uninstall it. It's as simple as just get mounted up in USB mode, usually drag the .rockbox directory off there. You may also have to uninstall the bootloader. Not too bad. It's kind of fun, actually. What Rockbox won't do for you? It won't play DRM-X content. Well, with the original firmware, it will, so you have to flip back and forth. It won't run on the latest, greatest player, no third generation Nano, no iPod Touch yet. It won't play full motion video at 24 frames per second on first generation iPod. There are limitations to what it can do. On the later ones, it doesn't have a DivX player yet, by the way, that's something someone needs to do. But it can play like MPEG-1 and all that kind of stuff. Not at the moment, last I checked. It wasn't ported to the last I looked. One thing to keep in mind is a very simple OS, not a full-featured kernel yet. It won't necessarily do 100% what the original firmware could do. The caveats, no DivX. Almost all players have some caveats. Usually it's because of the closed spec that prevents the reverse engineering of the original functionality. One other thing is the battery life might not be as good. It wasn't under the original firmware, because they made certain, were able to have a better idea of what you can test here and there in some places.
Isn't Bob's usually take a little bit more of the battery life than the iPod? I thought it was a little bit more.
The SANS has been running, it's about 12 or 14 hours.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah. Here's the caveat for my player. The FM radio doesn't work in the 20 gig version yet. It works in the 5 or 6 gigabyte version. Which isn't that big a deal to me. It's only 30 points per amp, and that does have it, which I do really like now. My H. Little one I got right here. That's 20 gigs.
20 gigs.
Yeah. Running full doom on it. There's a couple things. Apply control. Should work to slide. Align. Lower down.
sky.
200 series. Some of the later models ugly screen artifact screen for a little bit. Brushes. USB native may not work. Music with the device. Easily around that is that device with mic card on it. Put your music on music. Or do the firmware. iPods. Firmware doesn't work on those models. FireWire models. Which gives the fact that Apple themselves has dropped FireWire. That big a deal anymore. There's various issues depending on the person on iPod. It can be as simple as this is colored correctly. As complicated as the screen doesn't draw and drawing. That's what the voice menu is. There was actually a group of people asking, would there be a port for Rock Shuffle? What do you think about it? Initially, sounds like, are you high or what? It has a couple things going for it. Think about it. It's very small. It has great battery life. If you had voice enabled menus, you still have some kind of menu. And you want to build a log inside and stuff like that. The real problem with it is that it runs different types of chips, and it's really hard to get the debugging out of it when you have to set up and you're not really serving or anything like that. What a Rockbox looks like. Let's do it a few more times, shall we? Let's take the Sansa. This is built on crap. Everybody can see that? You can put different things on scenes. Let's say look at the plugins.
Yeah, I know.
You got the games. Doom, I don't know the mod was and all that. Let's have the tools real quick. And if everybody knows, everyone's playing with Jewel by Pop-Pat games. Just like it. Looks suspiciously like it, legally, according to them.
Now, once you're in there, I'm assuming you got a button.
You don't need a power button. Get out.
Oh, really? Okay.
This one's going to be. I don't like that. And I'm going to fire up again, because it's quick and easy. But there's a hole. Text editor is hilarious. There's a program, the cube, which, by the way, on the ring is quite hilarious. It goes slightly slower than this. This isn't designed for that. Because based on it, is out of orbit. Popular a long time ago before UT went GPL for all the versions. he is in a lot of ways much, much better.
The problem with
WSWitch is it tends to suffer from lowest common denominator a little more. And I think QT does be a little, offer a little more to it in the toolkit. It was a nice thing. I mean, I used some stuff I did back in the day. Already fired that up. Read the manual. Don't forget to read the manual. Not that long. You only need to read like 8 pages to figure out installing your system. And read that 8 pages, because if you don't, you'll be sitting there going, oh, no. It's going to be very bad. Oh, one thing is the automatic utility program isn't always right. If you do it on a iRiver, it doesn't rename the firmware correctly. It gives it this incredibly long name, original firmware, blah, 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 and it's looking for OGMI4 instead. If it doesn't see OGMI4, it doesn't work, then you're back to including an emergency USB mode and renaming it. Manual install varies from player to player. On the iRiver H10, it's pretty simple. Boot emergency USB mode, copy over the Rockbox directory structure, rename the original firmware. There's no bootloader at all for it. The SANSE player is a little bit tougher because you have to actually do a SANSE boot install, which the automatic utility program will, or else you can stick it in the USB device, mount it up, and then just run SANSE boot, which is another program they talk about. What Rockbox needs? Klingon fonts. It'd be cool. You know it would. Everybody would love that. A Klingon translation of all the internal stuff. That would rock. More themes. There's a lot of themes for it, but there's varies depending on the player and the size of it. Some have a lot, some have a few. A collection of default open content would really be nice. Right now, you get it, you don't get any content with it, but just example being Wired released a bunch of albums under the, released a whole album under the Creative Commons with some various popular people doing it, like Beastie Boys stuff. That'd be kind of cool. More publicity. That'd be kind of cool. And the last thing you need is a port to the Tatooine M100 player. So the Tatooine M100 player has one thing going for it. It is $20. And mine will be showing up tomorrow. I bought two because I figured I'm going to break one trying to figure out what the chipset is in it. What? 512 meg. It's just enough for Rockbox to use as a game player pretty much and have 4 or 5 songs left over probably. It's more or less, I just want to see how bad it's going to be to do it. Font themes, variety of fonts available, great themes. You can also do it without real programming skill, with just artistic skill, which if you're like me, you'll work at the programming side of it because the artistic skill is beyond you. Three things I wish I knew when I started with Rockbox. The backlight by default after you install goes out every 5 seconds. You'll start thinking something's broken. You think 5 seconds, that seems like a long time. No, scroll. Ah, did you run into that with yours? I was concerned because I thought I just spent $100 on MP3 players, now I've turned into a brick. But it turned out it was just that. Don't be afraid to hit the power button. It's the main way to get out of most of the plugins, which is kind of an interesting thing. And don't pick the middle of the install. Space is cheap, even in the flash players. Just put a couple megs into it, you wussy. Just one bad song. One Michael Bolton song away. The fourth thing I wish I knew when I started Rockbox, I just discovered this Sunday, actually, when I was getting the SANSE installed, and that is Ubuntu 7.10 Gusty Gibbon will send to mount your MP3 players read-only, regardless of how you tell it to mount it. Let's repeat that again, because that bears repeating. It will mount it read-only, regardless of how you tell it to mount it. What I mean is, it'll mount it read-write for about a second. You create a mount point, mount minus O, VPAT, mount minus P, VPAT minus O, RW, click, enter. It comes up, LS, touch X, read only. What's going on? I haven't figured out, something to do with the Dolphin stuff inside KDE4. I haven't dug into it too deep yet. So I just put a plug back in my Debian box and did the install there, and life went on for me. How does Rockbox compare to iPod Linux? I've played around with iPod Linux a little bit on a third generation, a friend of mine had. iPod Linux has some larger apps, such as Weather, which is really kind of cool because it's actually integrated into stuff. It'll pull down content and do all sorts of crap with it. It's going to be sunny tomorrow, which you just got and hold up your Rockbox player. If you can see it, it's sunny. If you can't see it, it's dark. You know that whole thing. iPod Linux is only for iPods. Worth repeating once more. iPod Linux is only for iPods. Rockbox runs on a lot of other players. Rockbox is a much simpler kernel. It's cooperative multitasking, simple memory protection. By which I mean, I can write a plugin that will go through and start dicking with other people's memory. I have that capability. But I also have to accept the fact that that's part of the way it's going to work. If you look at the modern 32-bit operating system, the main differentiations on it are memory protection, the ability to have processes, and, of course, preemptive multitasking and various hardware protection and stuff like that. ROCLOX bypassed a lot of that to be pretty much what the equivalent to DOS was in terms of protection. But the nice thing about that is it's very simple to port to additional platforms. That's back to the ROCLOX that ported the first generation iPod, which is a pretty amazing technique because it's just been going back through the, trying to figure out the documentation and stuff. But the fact that they've also gotten some support from some people. SAMHSA sent them an E200 player one time to try and get it running on there, and then they went ahead and revved it, so it didn't. So some of the stuff fell off. There's still some decent things there. Example of ROCLOX plugin. We'll take a look at one called Jules.c, which is a really kind of cool one. No, I don't. So, pretty much, look how I'm laid out. Just a beginning, top, standard header. Plug.h, playback control.h, have LCD bitmap. Define the different configurations, depending on what sort of form it is. Pretty straightforward. It also goes by the tile height and width. It figures out which one to use based upon that. So you, when you write a decent plugin, you write it to handle all the different resolutions, which is really nice. But you start with the basics here, save files, a couple of basic things. You'll save and score, which, by the way, you can dork with and give yourself a really good score if you want to, if you're that vain and narcissistic. By the way, try and beat it. But the board direction, all sorts of the options here are all pretty straightforward. Let's take a look at the main. But it's all a bunch of defines, how it works, how it does initialization. All this stuff is well, pretty well laid out inside the documentation on the wiki. And for this entire program, it comes into being a total of 1869 lines, 1,869 lines for the whole application. And, of course, there's also the artwork for it as well, which is available in the multiple different sizes. But that's all the bigger it is. Pretty impressive. For Jules, is a pretty good little game. Of course, the Doom size turned out to be quite a bit bigger, but that's the way things are. So it's pretty straightforward, but the thing about it is, if you do write a plugin for it, write it to handle multiple resolutions, it works pretty well. How it's developed for? All the pre-built environments are for Windows Cygwin. Thank you once again for that. It's all based on open source tools. It's a GCC cross-compiler with the bin utils and stuff, so you can compile it up on Linux or Mac port if you want to. The UI sim, which we used just a little bit to show that one screenshot, is will give you a pretty good idea about your app without the usual plug-in and update, unplug, reboot, test cycle. That is written in straight C. You can compile that on just about anything you want to. Works pretty well for you. There's also an emulator out there for the SAMHSA E200, which will run ROCLOX, but will not run the original SAMHSA firmware, because the original SAMHSA firmware is expected to have multiple CPUs, and it only has one CPU in the simulator. Where I'm currently at with ROCLOX, I've been dorking around building my cross-compiler environment on Linux and starting to review the H10 version. I would kind of like to get the FM radio working, if possible, in the iRiver H10, 20 gigabytes. I'm mostly just using an end user. I'm pretty happy with it. It works pretty well with the car and stuff like that. It's nice to be able to play OGG files. And I do play Jules a lot, I got to admit, probably too much. What, writing a new plugin for it, something like that? If there's a plugin I wanted to write to, I was thinking it would really be kind of cool if there's a decent way to sync it. The syncing to the underlying OS isn't all that great at times, because it'd be nice to be able to do something equivalent of weather or something like that with it. But it's got some nice features to it. But, I mean, for the most part, I'm just using it that way. I would like to see it offer a couple things it doesn't currently offer like that. I also just bought the ROCLOX on the SAMHSA C240 I bought about a week ago. I I've ordered two Tatung M100s that I'm going to take a shot at. I'm hoping it's based on Portal Player, or else I've just got two 512 megabyte MP3 players that I'm probably going to never do anything with unless something happens to one of them. Only $20. Advice, if you're going to the market for an MP3 player, you might as well try and get one of the well-supported ones. There's a lot of them are out there. It tends to be like one generation back for the most part, so usually costs a little less, actually. Arcos, Cohen, iRiver, H10, iPod Mini, Sansa, SanDisk player is all good. Tiger Direct has the iRiver H10 20 gigabytes refurbished for $99 last I checked. That's actually where I bought mine. A lot of places have the Sansa C200 and the E200 on sale, the various versions of it. There's a version, they sell at Best Buy called the E240R, which is Rhapsody, which has got a slightly different firmware on it, which has been a little bit of a pain, but they've got it working right now. But if you do buy a Sansa C200, be really careful because that V2 is out there now, and it does change stuff quite a bit. Rockbox has really good manuals written for the players they support. At least read the first part of it. It's really pretty good stuff. You'll sometimes have to trick your player into a mode where USB allows you to access the underlying operating system. Take your time to do this a couple times before you do an install to make sure everything's okay. And before doing anything funny with your firmware, make sure your battery is fully charged. The last thing you want to do is have your firmware halfway on there and have it zzzz. Because in that state, you're normally all right, but if it's in the middle of installing the bootloader, your mileage could vary dramatically. Future Rockbox, it's pretty good as long as players are semi-open. If they really make a concentrated effort at it, they can make it very difficult to make it run on there. One of the examples is being, don't expect to see Rockbox on the Zune until third quarter of next year, probably at the earliest. The thing about Rockbox on the Zune, the Zune itself, the initial first gen, is pretty much a Toshiba Gigabyte F, which is a pretty straightforward one. People know how it works, know the design. But due to the way that Microsoft's dorked with it during their development process, you can't get it installed on there currently. They're working on it because it has some really nice features like the wireless and stuff. That would be really cool, and the ability to break the sharing limitations. But they haven't got it working yet. Developers are working on creating an app version of the Rockbox interface that runs an application on top of an MP3 player. Which, if you think about that, would give you the ability to run Rockbox applications and plugins, all that stuff, on top of your iPhone, on top of your iPod, various machines that don't currently support it, and probably on top of your regular cell phone, hopefully someday. The GPL version 3 licensing is starting to pop up in the forums a bit. Right now, the overall consensus is we're not going to flip to it yet. We'll keep an eye on it, but it should work out for them all right. This is a classic example of a project with a purpose. Their whole goal is make a firmware that runs on top of MP3 players. And they do that, and that works quite well, though.
Would you compare that, like, to the MAME project and how they're trying to get that running on so many things? I mean, they had the MAME running on a freaking camera.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the MAME thing is it's so hard to get legal ROMs. There's a handful out there. But, yeah, I would say that's probably a good comparison to it. I mean, that or the core Linux kernel, probably. But it is pretty impressive. Thrust Rockbox. Rockbox got a really nasty cease and desist letter from PopCap Games about similarities between Bejeweled and the Jules plugin for Rockbox, which the Rockbox guys handled really well. They said, we got our images and stuff from the Jeweled program that's part of the GNOME project. Go talk to them first, and then come back and talk to us. And it turned into a little bitching match back and forth, but it came to the final analysis. It was, we're not going to bother pursuing this anymore because we're not really looking good on it. So PopCap kind of let it drop off. There were some changes made to the images to make them look a little more distinctive, but I'm not sure if they still stuck. Looking through the website, it's kind of difficult to figure out the legal structure of Rockbox. Part of it's in Sweden, part of it's here, that kind of stuff. But just figure out, is there a 501c behind this? Is it a for-profit corporation, stuff like that? I mean, it may be someplace just obvious I haven't seen, but they haven't really said what it is. There's no copyright assignment and all that kind of stuff to it that I've seen, which brings up some issues potentially. I mean, I don't know if they need a Rockbox foundation or what in that situation, but that does always have certain legal potential. Some players, such as the iPod 3rd generation Nano, are making it more difficult to put alternative firmware on their players. They're starting to do some MD5 checksums of various parts of the boot up sequence, stuff like that, which they're going to have to work around. It's going to take a little bit of time. Manufacturers change hardware on their players, sometimes without any way of telling, like the C240 version 2s. But the thing is, you don't know until you try it, and by that time it's usually too late. And Rockbox makes an effort not to play DRM, which currently leaves them outside most DMCA violations. But if they actually ever get into a real bad situation on that, the ability to play open content on there, I don't know how that works out, because if you're bypassing something like the Sony players, if they were to work on that, because Sony initially only had something called A-Track, which is their proprietary format. And if you were to disable that and turn that into a full-fledged MP3 player, are you then starting to influence what you can?
Yeah.
Circumvention love. References, rockbox.org, rockbox.org/Twiki, and iPodLinux.org are the main references on it. Summary, Rockbox is a impressive project. I've really been happy with it so far. I was much happier before my Sansa C240 decided to just, for no apparent reason, I reflashed on it, seemed to be fine, but I'm still kind of surprised. The fact that it runs on as many different types of players as it does, runs on things from having a screen that's 1 inch in size to a screen that's 7 inches in size, that runs from a machine with one CPU that's barely powerful enough to runs at several megahertz to one that some of the smaller strong arm processors, which are really quite impressive. And the fact it's able to handle AUG and FLAC and all stuff is pretty darn impressive. And it's a great way to be able to play a format that typical MP3 players don't support and add functionality that your MP3 player normally doesn't have. And of course, the price is right on the player, on the firmware as well. Does anybody have any questions? It's been pretty quiet. iPod Classic 160 gig is not currently supported. They are working on it. There's been some sharing of code between the Rockbox guys and the iPod Linux guys. So I'm figuring about the time one shows up, the other one will probably make it as well. So hopefully sometime soon. Yeah, but yeah.
Do you know if any of the other operating systems come from the manufacturer?
Almost all of them use shared memory and stuff like that. They're all pretty simple OSs. They're not designed to be particularly in-depth because they don't need to be. They're only running their custom apps. So, I mean, but the thing is you can add in the functionality to most. A couple of ones, like the Cohen stuff, is actually based on Linux, so it does have multi-processing and stuff like that. I mean, real multitasking and stuff like that, multi-processing. But it's you don't see it, so for the most part it doesn't make much difference. Yes?
I know that when you're installing the bootloader, are you doing that on a player that has nothing on it? And if you have something on it, does it go away?
It should not. If you have space on there, nothing should go away. Okay. Your mileage may vary, though, of course. One thing I forgot to mention, I don't have it installed on this one right now. There's a pack box is available for this as well, which is a Pac-Man emulator. Mm-hmm. Uses the original ROMs. It's the beginnings of a MAME-like environment on that. It works reasonably well on this. Some poor bastard decided to port the Frotz interpreter to this, which is what Zork uses. Think about that for a second. Go west. You are blocked. Go east. But the thing is, the wiki, the forums, the mailing lists have a lot of great stuff on them, a lot of stuff that's going through them and new developments. But there's tons of plugins for it. There's a Chip8 emulator, which if you know what Chip8 is, it's a really bad computer virtual machine from years ago that has a bunch of bad games for it. They play on here. They map about 4 keys to this. Works pretty well. It's a pretty cool thing. Any other questions? Yes?
When you say MAME, do you actually mean
M-A-M-E. Multiple. Yeah. This runs Packbox right now. MAME itself is an amazing project. It emulates everything.
It's been around for a long time, too.
It emulates everything from 6809s to 68000s. It lets you play all the classic Capcom games, all sorts of stuff. There's actually a group that ported the MAME thing to running on a Kodak digital camera, which was quite impressive. I don't know if every time you started playing, you took a picture or what, but there's quite a bit of power to it. But MAME itself, the problem with MAME is it's usually hard to get legal ROMs. Which is what there's a couple places like StarROM, stuff like that, offer legal ROMs, but it still can be quite a thing. Some people say if I buy like the Namco 20th anniversary pack and has the ROM for Galaga, all this stuff on it, do I have a legal right to put those on my MAME player and that kind of stuff? And that gets into a dubious area of legality.
Well, that's same up in the air as if I bought the movie, can I put it on my iPod kind of?
No, but you're only stealing it once. That's the new MPAA's response.
Uh-huh.
If you actually rip your own CDs, you actually are stealing, but you're only stealing one copy, so that's okay. We won't come after you yet. It's pretty much a response, but they will. Later. Yeah, so they're through the others. Anybody got more questions? Anybody going to give it a shot?
I'm trying to think of one.
Second gen? Should be good. That's actually one of the better platforms. The second gen, I believe the second gen.
The model number should tell you.
Yeah, but it does work pretty well on the second gen.
And you should be able to buy like a 16 gig compact flash and stick it in. It's the mini?
No, it had the miniature. They had the small hard drive in it. Like
yeah,
a 1-inch hard drive.
Yeah, compact flash interface. But I must have the second generation.
No, internally. Internally, can you open up and put a compact flash in there?
Yeah.
But it's a hard drive. But it has a compact flash interface.
It's a compact flash.
No, it's like a 1-inch
no.
It's a 1-inch hard drive.
It's
like
a micro drive, the IBM micro drive. Yeah, do a search, yeah.
Once again, if you
void
your warranty.
When I took apart.
If you void your warranty, I'd fire John. Yeah. Oh, now, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they always do. That's the thing about these and stuff. The Sansa's actually got a pretty decent screen. I've had it in my pocket, my keys today, and it doesn't look too scratched up. So, yeah. I carry it around in my pocket. So, anybody else got any questions?
Going once.
JTAG interface. Oh, you mean most of these don't have the – I don't know. Some of these have the capability, but then you get to the point where you're starting to talk to developer boards again, which is kind of tough. The only time I've ever really done something like that is when I was debugging some kernel stuff, and I was doing GDB over a serial cable to another machine, which really kind of sucked because it turned out the problem was actually deterministic. So the minute you – of course, you started doing the debugger, you change the problem, which is the problem – the love of scheduling and stuff. But the one thing Rockbox doesn't have is a really good developer's manual at the moment. You pretty much got to look at the example apps and take a look at it that way. But you can build them all in the UI simulator, which works pretty well. So give it a shot. If you don't want to see what it just looks like, the Rockbox wiki has some pre-built images for the emulator that run under Windows and run under Wine pretty decently. Give you an idea what it looked like in your screen if you were to install it. So pretty cool. That's all I got, unless I make anything else. I'll be up here playing around with these. Anybody's got any questions or anything? Hey.
Okay. Thanks, Aaron. But it's the same thing where it only shows one or the other.
I don't know. Nervous has been working pretty good lately. Last couple times. I don't know. It's about time to get a new laptop. I'm saving up to buy a MacBook. Hi, Chris. How much? Is that what the solid state hard drive? No, they're actually working on the solid state hard drive. Yeah, but it's Apple, so they feel free to charge as much as they want to. It's the Tatooine M100. It doesn't currently support Rockbox. I don't know how far it'll get down.
T-A-T-U-N-G. U-N-G?
U-N-G. If you head out right now to Tiger Direct, they had some 1-gig players for $9 without a screen on it that played just MP3. The reason I thought the Tatooine was interesting is it's the only one that mentions, and we support Linux, which I thought was nice because that means it boots up in a regular USB mode and stuff, which will make it easier to try and figure it out. But the Sansa player, I spent $60 on my 1-gigger, so they're not that bad for the most part.
Reminder that the Aaron's presentation is at olug.org/presentations. /December 2007.
Capital D.
There is no little D. So, January. Who Who's volunteering? First month of the year. There might be snow. It is January 1st. Is the first Tuesday? Ooh.
We avoid holidays, don't we?
Maybe we should skip to February. Wow. Well, everybody will have that day off, right? Install Fest.
Yeah, the
right?
All day.
Who's going to volunteer their house for Install Fest? Nobody? All right. Let's do a vote. Third Tuesday in January, or just do a February? Do February? Okay. What should we talk about? Anyone? Pete's doing the recording. Really? I think so. That'd be kind of neat. Yahoo. How much?
Only $350 million.
Wow. Did it fork? No?
It's always had a commercial and open source. Really seem like it.
Okay. That's one suggestion.
Anybody talk about AppArmor?
Huh. That's what happened on. That's what happened with App. It wasn't App Armor that the problem was.
Did you see what happened with App Armor
on Friday?
They got rid of the. They've let go of the developers from Novell. Crispin Cohen and stuff have got the chance to pursue other opportunities. They're doing a new company called Mercenary Linux.
So that's pretty much Gandhi then.
No, I think it was Rock.
They're hoping that they would work on it outside the company, so they don't have to pay them.
Yeah. Hmm.
Right. Makes sense. Okay.
You know, go to Zimber.org now, it doesn't work. Let's go back to Zimber.com. So,
have you done SE Linux stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've done some App Armor too.
Craig, you always say turn it off.
I have never got it to work where it didn't cause me major problems.
Can you say it again?
I've turned it off on every machine that I've tried to use it because it's caused me major problems.
Okay.
You know the best thing to do? Install your root file system as RiserFS and then turn SE Linux on because SE Linux doesn't understand Riser under the Fedora core default install stuff. And then you get this wonderful little dance of the hard drive, as I refer to it. There's nothing on this hard drive. Oh, there's something here.
Did they talk to you about it at BrainShare and how that all works?
I went to BrainShare 2 years ago, and at that point was when they introduced it.
Oh.
And the concept was wonderful. We'll stop there.
Implementation leaves somewhat lacking.
Manner.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. When is the next install fest?
Normally we do one in the
The one in the winter?
The
one in the winter has fewer people show up.
Usually that's the one that you see every port after the PS3 is gonna be like, what can I do with it?
I think after the last one we kinda decided that we were gonna go back to one a year because we didn't have very good turnout at the last one.
Yeah.
Despite all our fantastic marketing efforts and all the dollars spent on
Twizzlers. All the Twizzler money. That was supposed to get people in the door. I mean, the thoughts of doing it in January was all these people got new computers for Christmas. They'll bring them in and install Linux on it. Yeah, but it's also, at those times, it's always been 10 degrees out or less. So if we say 6 months from now, and start working on it for 6 months. If you do it in May, early enough, when school isn't quite out yet, and you have that pull from, say, Infotech, well, we did do an install fest about 2 weeks after Infotech that did pretty good that 1 year. Can we put goldfish in it? You need to make a media server out of it, like Twonky or something. Okay, we'll put a tentative Zimbra for February. Okay? Getting some of that out of the way. So I don't have to worry about it. A week before the meeting. Okay. Nothing for January. So no January. We'll put a post up that says no meeting in January. Oh, when is it?
January 16th. It's not okay. What do you want to talk about? the upcoming assault. The security implications of it?
There you go.
Well,
where is it?
It's going to be Johnny's Cafe. It'll be a lunchtime meeting, as usual.
One of the things I heard about today was, I don't know how many people here listen to Lug Radio. They're talking about their forums and how a lot of people help them in the forums, but they do things like, oh, copy and paste this in it, and on your machine it'll fix it. But it's like a dev package that you have no idea what it's doing to their system. Or the commands like sudo rm whatever. Yeah. Yeah. February? What, the one I'm not doing right now? Oh. Yes. So did Ubuntu get their Intel driver fixed? Supposedly Comp is worked out of the box, but not on certain Intel chipsets. I see. So, it wouldn't enable on my ThinkPad. Right. Although Fedora it did. So. Right. Well, you can just turn it off. I mean, it's neat for probably like 2 weeks or so, or showing off to people. but you find yourself going to turn it on to show them, and then you go back and you turn it off. Oh, okay. It doesn't take up much CPU at all. It's pretty low. So you're talking about desktop installation. How fast was your machine, Aaron, on Vista?
It sucks. It still sucks. I'm still waiting for it to finish indexing that drive.
I heard a reference to it called Vistake. So when did you order yours?
I ordered mine the first day.
Oh, well, there you go.
The only time at work I've ever ripped out my credit card at work and typed in our network. I had my Linux box. I wasn't going to throw it into the Windows PC next to it.
Okay.
Something that I know somebody's working on. I can't remember the name of it. Well, I think it's a touchscreen, but it's not touchscreen good enough for Android.
No, right? It has the mouse also works as like a Wacom tablet thing that you're drawing on.
Is
but
that what it
is? Screen doesn't have anything.
They say about the screen is pretty basic.
It's not basic.
It's mostly a sheet part.
Goes black and white when you go outdoors and actually readable outdoors, that's going to be amazing.
So we'll probably do the install fest either late April, early May, date pending. Try to get that hammered down the next 2 or 3 weeks. Start advertising for it. It's mostly based upon the availability of the space and what we can use at that time. So, I think that's it. Then that's what we'll probably be using.
Yeah, unless you know the LCS is delayed like last time.
Yes? Yeah. The Fedora how to? Yeah. Right. Yeah, I used Mythdora for my presentation back late spring, early summer. Oh, okay. But yeah, it's pretty neat. I really enjoyed it. It was pretty good. Just the point and click and all that stuff. Because I've been installing since 0.7, and at that point you had to compile everything. So you have your subscription with the guys and everything through Schedules Direct? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. No, I'm just curious. That's all. Okay. Some of those original Rally books. Okay, I don't have anything else, so. Oh, yeah. Who's played with any of the GNOME Online desktop stuff? What don't you like about it? Is that your H10? Okay, that's it for tonight.